Turn with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter 13, where we read together a few moments ago. Proverbs chapter 13, and I want to look just at the first few verses of this chapter, and I've termed it the way of the wise. Now, of course, the book of Proverbs gives that wisdom for living in the whole of the book. It has many sayings to keep us wise, but just here I want us to look at these verses, and perhaps for the next few weeks into the new year we'll take a look at the way of the wise as it's shown here in this chapter. And it's important to realize that although some people, when they look at the book of Proverbs, they say, well, you know, that's just worldly wisdom, that's just the wisdom of the ages and the sages, but it's got nothing to do with God. There's very little reference to the Lord in it. There's very little reference to holy things. But the truth is that it's all founded upon the idea of godliness and righteousness. And it is therefore at the heart of the book of Proverbs that is the way of those who are seeking to live to the glory of God. It talks about the fear of the Lord. It talks about the Lord as being the fountain of our confidence in our life. And so those who try and make it into just a sort of worldly wise conglomeration of sayings miss a large part of what it is. The wisdom that's spoken of here is the wisdom of the wise, the way of those who are wise spiritually. Those who know and love the Lord and who fear him, because that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, here in these verses at the beginning of chapter 13, there are three things I want us to pick out. First of all, as you'll see there in the outline I've given you, a student that is listening to instruction here particularly, he says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not. And that's the first thing, learning to listen to instruction. If we're going to be wise, one of the things we have to do is learn to listen to instruction. Secondly, a speaker, a person who lives before others, and particularly in the things that they say, because what we say so often brings us into the position where either we are blessed or we are the subject of great difficulty as a result of those things that we say, either bringing ourselves into trouble or saying that which is wrong. And then thirdly, not only the speaker but a servant, labouring to prosper, the things we do in order to be prosperous in this world. The soul of the sluggard desireth and shall have nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And so these three things. First of all then, the student, the one who listens to instruction. You know, of course, that among parents, among children and families, you can have of the same family ones who are very different. There are those who have the same, you might say, genetic code, but they're so different. You look at them and they have the outward appearance of being very similar. If folks were to see them in a room together, they'd hardly tell them apart. But if you know them, you know that they're very different characters. And what brings that about is the way in which we deal with the instruction that we have, even from our earliest days. Here it talks about the way in which we are to be receptive to instruction. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. You know, there is great hope for those that reverence their parents, those who are willing to be advised and admonished by them. And a wise son hears what his father has to say, and desires to hear it. A wise daughter too, by the way, just for the ladies, in case you think you don't have to listen to daddy or to mummy. We all have to listen to instruction from those who are over us. And here we see that that receptive disposition is important, that willingness to hear, to receive instruction. Now, when we do that, what we find is it is, of course, a joy to the parents. In Proverbs chapter 10, we read there, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. So what it's saying there is very clear, isn't it? That parents have a joy from those who listen to instruction, and sadness and sorrow is the result of those who will not. Whether you're looking at the account of the prodigal son, the one who went off, thankfully, spoken of, coming back eventually and seeking forgiveness through repentance, and the way in which that was a heartbreak to his father in those years of the wilderness, wandering in the far country. But those who hearken to their parents are a joy to their parents. In Proverbs 15, it says again, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. There, instead of talking about the mother and the way she feels, it talks about the way an unwise son deals with his mother. He despises her. He treats her as if she's unimportant. He says that's wrong. You see, if we are to learn well, we'll start that learning in the home by listening to our parents, mum and dad, and then listening to those who are in right and lawful authority, so that we learn instruction well and wisely. William Gurnall said, the father is a debtor to his child and owes him love, provision and nurture. The child is a debtor to his parents and owes him honour and obedience. And it's that balancing of the two. The parents have their responsibility of giving a good example, of providing all that's good and right and proper. But the children, the ones who are to learn, are to listen wisely and well and give that honour and obedience which is glorifying to God and a blessing to all concerned. It's a joy of the parents. But along with that, it should also be a love of parental instruction. There should be that joy in being instructed. In chapter 12 of Proverbs, right at the very beginning of the chapter, it says this, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. In other words, if you love to hear those things that will make you wiser, more knowledgeable, if you love to be told, by the way, that's not the right way to do it, here's a better way to do it, then you will grow in knowledge and understanding. You will find that your life increases in its blessedness because your knowledge will increase, because you will understand things better. It will be a blessing to you. Whoso loveth instruction, people who are willing to learn, who have a joy in receiving instruction, they love knowledge. Knowledge is a means of instructing us so that we are able to do all that we do in a better, in a more profitable, and a more God-honoring way. And so here in the book of Proverbs, those of us who are willing to listen to instruction are being reminded that as we do so, it will be a joy to those who are over us, our parents, of course, having that primary position, but also it should be a joy to us to receive such instruction. It It's a sad thing when someone doesn't like to be told information that would be helpful to them. You just ask any parent who feels like they're banging their head against a brick wall when they're trying to tell things that are good and profitable and useful, and it just doesn't seem to go in. In the book of Proverbs, right at the very beginning, we're told that the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. That's why he did this. That's why he wrote these things out, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man, knowledge and discretion, so that a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsel, and so on. And so the book of Proverbs is filled with this way of the wise, the wisdom of those who walk with God. And it all starts by being willing to listen to instruction. And the truth is, whatever age we are, we can always learn more. Every minister has things they can learn from the Word and from other ministers and from other people who are well versed in their particular subject. Every elder, every member, every one of us can always learn more. And we should have an appetite. We should have a desire for instruction. We should want to grow in knowledge and learning and instruction. And where there is a desire, that desire will be fulfilled and it will be to our blessing. And where there's not a desire, that's a sign of heading down the road of folly. Because where there's that receptive disposition, that which is a joy, a wise son that hears his father's instruction, there's also the opposite. There's the scorner that heareth not rebuke, that just is arrogant in their derision with regards to anyone who would dare to tell them otherwise. There's little hope for those who will not even listen to rebuke and instruction with any patience. Instead, they scorn to submit to government of any sort, whether it be parental or whether it be other forms of authority. And such arrogant derision of instruction is a sign of danger for those who have it. How can those mend a fault who will not be told of it, but count as enemies those who in kindness try to put them right? And that's one of the sad things in our society today. I suppose it's always been there. In every generation, there's always been those who just will not listen. And yet it is one of these things that we see today, that there seems to be a growing and growing hatred of authority and of instruction. This millennial generation. That's how the folks nowadays talk about the different generations, and the one that seems to be in the forefront at the moment is they're often referred to as the millennials, those who have come since the turn of the century. And there's a tendency within the millennial generation to expect that they just know everything by osmosis, that they don't have to go through the hard yards of learning, that they don't have to apply themselves, that they don't have to do that which requires effort. But the Bible makes it quite clear that if we are to grow in wisdom, then we must be willing to receive instruction. And those who dislike reproof such as the one shown here in the second part of verse 1, are on a very slippery and dangerous slope. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, we read there, "A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise." Now, what that's saying is this, that there are some people, and they just won't listen to you. If you try and tell them things that are right, they'll look you in the face and say, "I won't listen." And rather than help themselves, all that does is place themselves in a position of continued ignorance. And so here in Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest man, is turning and saying, what we have to do is we have to learn, first of all, to receive instruction. And if we do so, it will be to our blessing. And if we do not, it will be to our own damage. They dislike reproof, those who are arrogant and deride instruction. They despise others, those who will not take reproof, those who will not listen to others. It's because there is a pride which makes them think that they don't need to listen to anyone. You remember what's said later on in Proverbs in chapter 17, "Whoso mocketh at the poor reproacheth his maker." There are those who just despise others. They look at them and they say, "Why should I listen?" But many's a poor man could be a wise man. You think what it says, you know, about the poor man who saved the city, and yet afterwards no one remembered him. Possibly referring to Archimedes. But certainly a picture of one who was wise and yet forgotten, despised by those who weren't as wise as him. In the book of Proverbs, time and again, we are given to see that those who are arrogant often despise those who even are better than themselves. "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." In other words, ultimately it will not be for their benefit. I always remember when I was growing up, there was a television program that was very popular. My father wouldn't let us watch it. It was the rage of the day. It was the big thing. It was called Grange Hill. It probably looks quite tame in comparison to other things now. But my father said, there's enough disobedience going on. There's enough arrogance and back chat without it being brought into my house via that box. And you know, he was right. He never professed to be a Christian, but he was right on that. At the time, I was so angry. All my pals were watching it and I wasn't get to watch it. I've ever since been incredibly grateful that he did what he did. Because you see, we sometimes don't always see things as well as others do, and those who have more experience and more wisdom. And he had that. And he realized the dangers of such attitudes being funneled into my head and the heads of others in our home. And he said, "No, you're not watching it." And although I didn't like it at the time, I had to obey him. He was my dad. And now I look back and I say, he was right and I was wrong. Because you see, when we despise the instruction of others, it is to our own detriment if we do so. And what's more, it disturbs the peace of all around. Those who will not listen to instruction not only damage themselves and those directly, but the truth is that they become a disturbance and a damage to all around them. The Bible says, cast out the scorner and contention will go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. In other words, those who will not listen to reproof the scorner, they cause trouble in everything they do. They just cannot be at peace. And it says, cast out the scorner and contention will cease. All the troubles, all the arguments, all suddenly they seem to disappear like the morning cloud. Because that spirit of arrogance brings with it, or is fostered by, a deep-seated pride, a determination to have one's own way and therefore to care not for how others are damaged or disturbed. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. And so the scorner is the very opposite of the student, the wise son who hears his father's instruction. And he brings trouble to himself and to others. But the wise listen to instruction. Along with that, secondly, there is this speaker, the one who lives well before others and does so, as well as by other things, by the way that they speak, the things that they say. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. And there we see that the speaker is described in two ways. First of all, of gaining benefit by the things that he says. The utterances of the wise bring benefit. He shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, the fruit of his lips. These things that he says, the man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. And what's being said there is, if you speak that which is good, it will be a blessing to you and to others. Your words have the power to do good. And to do good for you, you will eat the fruit of that which you say, which is good and right and proper. Ambrose said, it's easier to look wise than to talk wisely. And he was right. But when you speak wisely, when you utter truth, the fruit of your mouth, the things that you say, will have a beneficial effect. There in Proverbs 15, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. That's verse 2. It takes knowledge and it uses it for the right ends. You see, it's possible to use knowledge in a bad way. It's possible to have knowledge of things that are right and proper and to misuse them for bad ends. But the wise individual uses their words wisely and uses their knowledge for good ends and speaks that which is right and proper and beneficial. So it speaks truth. In Proverbs 12 and verse 7, you see there that, verse 17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. So there's that truth that we speak. The wise speak the truth, but also they speak kindness. In Proverbs chapter 31, just near the end of the book, we read there of the way in which the wise woman is spoken of. And one of the things that's said about this wonderful, godly wife, this godly woman, is this. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So it's saying not only is she a wise woman, she understands what's right, But in her tongue is the law of kindness. When she knows what's right, she says what is good. And that's a wonderful thing. When we learn to govern our tongues in such a way that not only are our minds directed by that which is right, but our tongues are directed by that which is kind. These are the utterances of the wise. And they are a blessing, they are beneficial to all around, to the ones who speak and to the ones who are spoken to. In chapter 12, we read there in verse 18 at the second part of the verse, it says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword." There are some that speak and they say very unkind things. But the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise, when they speak, it brings peace. It brings healing. It brings health. And that's a tongue that you and I should seek to possess. That's a tongue that you and I should seek to use when we speak with one another and when we speak with others. And as we come to the close of this year, one of the things that you get at the end of a year is people look back and they see what's been done in, well, here, 2017. And if we go over and we look and we say, well, as a student, what have I learned in 2017? How have I progressed in my knowledge and my wisdom in 2017? And what have I said in 2017? Have I spoken that which was wise, which was health, which was kindness? Or have I failed in that area? We all look back, and I am sure that every one of us can look back at places where we failed in that department. Because to control the tongue, we're told by James, is the most difficult of all duties. And as we look at the end of a year and we think of the way of the wise, I'm sure there are many things where we can look back and say, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish if I had a rewind erase button, I could go back and take away what I said. We can't, but we have to try and do better in the year that lies ahead. Because the wise is not only wise, as we see there in verse 2, with regards to the things they say, a wise man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but also in his silences. The silences of the prudent, of the wise man. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. In other words, there are not only times when we should speak, but there are times when we should be silent, when it will do us good to say nothing. I'm a preacher. My job in large measure involves times when I get up and speak publicly. But there are times when it would be far more beneficial for me to learn to be quiet. And if that's true of preachers, and it is, and anyone who's ever been to a general assembly can tell you, there are a lot of times when preachers should learn to be quiet. But along with that, it's true of us all. There are all times when we could all learn the wisdom of silence. As he says here, he that keepeth his mouth, there's the idea of guarding it. A time to keep silence and a time to speak, said the wise man in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 7. One writer said there are two sciences which every person ought to learn, the science of speech and the more difficult one of silence. Because silence is the ability to guard our lips. And as we guard our lips, we guard our soul. That's what's being said here in these verses. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. In other words, if you don't learn to guard your lips, it'll bring you danger, it will bring you difficulty, it will bring you ultimately destruction. Along with that, Matthew Henry, he said in this passage, on this passage, he said, "The cautious think twice before he speaks once. If he have thought evil, he suppresses it, keeps a strong bridle on his tongue and a strict hand on the bridle. He keeps his soul from a great deal of guilt and grief, and saves himself from the trouble of many bitter reflections on himself and reflections of others upon him." When we learn to guard our tongue, it preserves us from so much. And also, of course, those who do not are ruined by an ungoverned tongue. He that opens widely his lips bids defiance to God and man. He says, "I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm just going to say it." Well, there's only one aim for that sort of attitude, and it's not a good one. And that's what the Proverbs are telling us here. That's what the Lord is telling us through his word here. Those who open their lips and say whatever they think shall have destruction of their reputation, their interest, their comfort, and if they continue on in that way, ultimately of their soul forever. An ungoverned tongue can be an unlimited damage to ourselves and to others. And so we are to be wise as students and to hear the rebuke of the Lord, and particularly of the wise, whatever is to our instruction. We are to be wise as speakers to say what is good, what is right, what is true, and what is kind, but to know when to say nothing. And we are to be as servants, labouring to do that which will enable us to prosper in a right and proper way. The soul of the sluggard, verse 4, desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. It's interesting, you know, when Satan is looking for his disciples, he finds them when they're idle. You know, the devil finds work for idle hands. But Jesus always selected his disciples when they were active. They were either mending their nets or casting their nets or sitting at the booth for Matthew when he was there, Levi as he was also known, when he was there at the receipt of custom. You have all those times when they're working. That's when the Lord calls them. The Lord seeks the diligent. The lazy neglect the regular and lawful means of increase. With regards to the things that they should be preparing, they fail to do it. Verse 11 of the previous chapter, chapter 12. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. What it's saying there is very simple. It's saying those who have a piece of land, who have an area where they might benefit themselves there as a farmer, if they do the preparatory work, the tilling of the soil, that will take up their time. But as someone said, no one ever tilled their field by turning it over in their mind. You've got to go and do it. You've got to go and put on your wellies, get your work clothes on and do the work. Those who want to spend their time, as it says here in chapter 12, in verse 11, with vain persons, they're void of understanding and they will end up going to poverty. Why? Because diligence is required and laziness neglects the preparation of those things which are necessary for a harvest. What's more, they neglect the cultivation of things that are needed to be done in order to keep things going. Remember what's said in 2 Thessalonians 3 where Paul is writing and he says, "We commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat." There's to be no encouragement of laziness or sloth. And the things which preserve us and preserve what we've done. Do you remember in Proverbs 12 and 27, just there, just before this chapter, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. And what's being said there is that the lazy man, the slothful man, he did something. He went out, he hunted, he caught something. But then he didn't do what was necessary to make it useful to him. He didn't take the steps that were necessary in order to preserve his efforts for later. He didn't roast that which he took in hunting. He did expend some effort. He did something good. He got a result. He actually hit something. He took something in hunting. But then he wasted all his efforts and let it go to rack and ruin, and it just rotted away. And what is being reminded there is that we have to take steps to preserve our efforts. It's no use just doing something and then leaving it to fritter away. And that's true whether it's knowledge, that's true whether it's work, that's true whether it's savings or whatever. We have to be wise and careful in the way that we do everything we do. And to do things so that the benefit is preserved for later, for when we need it. And the lazy don't do that. The soul of the sluggard wants all these things, but has nothing because it won't use the God-ordained means to preserve them. The slothful desire gains which the diligent get, but they hate the pains which the diligent make, said old Matthew Henry again. But the diligent, they apply the God-honoring means of enrichment. They take time for cultivation, they prepare their fields, they till their land. The result is they're satisfied with bread. They're diligent in their cultivation. They make no place for laziness in their life. They seek to use what they are given in a way that will be beneficial and will cause all that is done to bring forth its benefit for the years ahead. And they preserve what they do. As it says there at the end of verse 27 of chapter 12, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. It's preserved and its benefit continues. And you see, as we live in this world, we are called upon to be wise. Wise by trusting in the Lord, first and foremost. That's the great wisdom that's needed, to know the Lord. But in knowing the Lord, we're called upon to act as wise in all that we do. To be willing to learn as diligent students. To be those who are speaking what is true and right and proper. To be laboring as servants of the Lord. Diligently using all the lawful means to do all that is honouring to God. Well, the year is just about gone now. And we'll look back and we'll see places where we could have and perhaps should have done better. But we'll also look forward and we see a year that lies ahead. And pray the Lord will enable us to learn the lessons of all that's gone before, to speak the truth with kindness and with wisdom, and to labour and to do as much and as well as we can with all that God lays to our hand in the year that lies ahead. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Let us pray.